Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence and the ability you've given us to come together at this hour, having previously foreknown us and also granted us through the power of repentance, Lord, and especially in this hour when it means so much to us. And Father, we're glad we're committed to you this hour by the word, and it fills our hearts to hear people sing, even with spiritual understanding and spiritual emotion concerning the fact they have committed their souls and their lives unto you. But it's greater than ever in this hour when we know the committing is won by vindication, and we're grateful for that, Lord. There ought not to be one person amongst us with any doubts whatsoever. There ought not to be any feeble ones amongst us. We all ought to be strong, just marching down to that river crossing over into the promised land. Some standing here, Lord, who never see death, never taste it, but going right on up, we believe that, Lord. And we thank you, my God, that promise is here for those of which Brother Branham speaks tonight in this message. And they already have received every single thing they need to walk over to that great land. And we thank you for it, Lord. May our service be blessed tonight, not only in worship, but in the wisdom and revelation of yourself coming forth and the message delivered us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 14 of Things That Are To Be. And from our reading, Things That Are To Be, and dissertation number 13, we found Brother Branham speaking on the child of God being predestinated according to the Bible. But we found his understanding of the subject was far from what many people teach on the part of redemption which pertains to the security of the believers. And we want to look at that tonight, and as we look at it, we want to look at two portions of Scripture which are quite long, but we're not going to worry about that. We always take our time so that we don't waste for the messages that Brother Branham brings us. All right, in Romans 9, Paul is speaking here concerning predestination. And he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now this is a very strong pronouncement that Paul is making concerning himself relative to the people from whom he with whom he was apart and from whom he came out. Now he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Now, of course, the Jews did not believe that one that came was the fulfillment in that person of the Scripture that Paul is mentioning here. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, that's true. Jesus called them serpent seed, a bunch of them, majority. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. That's right. We know that we have Ishmael and Isaac in there. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. They are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Now, you keep that in mind as we go into predestination, where we talk of the one lump. Because this is exactly how the children of God are coming through natural election. Every child is not going to be a child of God. No way, shape, and form. You can have maybe a family of 9 or 10, and there might not even be one that has come by the flesh, is nothing but a child of the flesh. It has nothing to do with God. And it may be several in the family. One family are born already predestinated. Now watch. For he says here, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. Now you notice in there, two children by one father and one mother. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob I love, Esau have I hated. Now let's just stop right there and think of something. Now what did Paul say in here? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing witness, and the Holy Ghost, I have great heaviness, continue sorry for my brethren. I could even wish myself accursed because they simply don't see what I see. Now watch. Who are Israelites? To whom pertained the adoption? Spiritual. And the glory? More spiritual. And covenants? And giving a law? And service of God? And promises? Now what is he saying here? He's talking about worship. He's talking about relationship to God and worship. And he said, all this is sitting right there. Now, but he says, this is terrible that they actually crucified the Lord. But I want you to notice something, he said. There's a physical Israel and there's a spiritual Israel. And now he said right here, I'm not only going to talk about Isaac, who was predestinated, and Sarah and Abraham had to have their bodies chained back so that they could have that child. But he said, I'm going to go further now. And I'm going to show you one father and one mother who brought forth twins. Now you look at those twins. They were conceived by one our father Isaac. Now watch. And the children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil. Okay, what am I thinking about? I'm for John Spahn. Whenever I mention good and evil, what am I talking about? Huh? Very good, it is worship. What chapter of what book? Huh? No, that's all right, but it's not it. Very good. What does the book of Genesis go to in the New Testament? Huh? 1 John, 3rd chapter, good and evil, right? So what's he talking about? He's talking about worship. They have not even come to the place where they could worship God, but they will worship God, and one will do it in evil, and one will do it in righteousness. Right? So keep all your principles in your mind as you read Scripture. Don't let your principles duck you for one split second. I know it's not easy, but the Holy Ghost is a mighty wonderful teacher to bring everything to your remembrance if you want it. Now here's what he's talking about worship. The presence of God. God's children, which is Brother Branham is talking right tonight in this message here, things that are to be. The mansions prepared for us, right? All right. Now we're looking at this. They haven't even come to the place of worship. They haven't come to the place of even attempting to serve God. But notice, they are in line to do it. And right here you have your two vines, right? You have those that worship not according to truth. And that means by the revelation of the truth, even as Cain, thou hast rightly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided, therefore hast thou not sinned. And Paul says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now they're dealing with truth. They're dealing with vindication. But there can be a wrong division. That's why you hear people say, oh, I believe in the presence of God. He's been here all the time. Not the way he is now. Because Brother Babe, forget Brother Branham categorically. He said, just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. And he said, when God saw his children in sin, Adam and Eve, he did not send an archangel. He did not send an angel. He himself came down. So today, now you try to tell me that's for 2,000 years. And I'm going to tell you something. You better go home. You better not leave this building before you repent. Because you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And when you're wrong, you're dead. And at the end time, they're twice dead. You know why they're twice dead? Plucked up by the roots, you're before the white throne. Malachi 4. Are you following me? Do you understand how we're putting it together? Huh? Some of you don't look too bright. All right, Malachi 4. Leaving neither root nor branch. And Brother Branham said, see, there is not any eternal lake of fire where you suffer eternally because even the root and branch are completely burnt up. And he said categorically that was the white throne. Twice dead. What was the last plague that hits the world? Spiritual death. Right? Okay, so now let's... what I'm trying to show you here is that the Word of God in itself is one fabulous seed that has a thousand facets, and everyone come together in perfect symmetry, perfect balance, because it is that Word of God. See, no matter where you look, this is a perfect word and a perfect message. So it says, the children being not even born. One's got a stripe for him, one's got a stripe against him. One's going to make it, one isn't. Now, the very best that this brother of Jacob, Esau, the very best he could be would be a foolish virgin. But Brother Branham went along with the King James Version. Not Esau have I loved less, but hated. Now, why do I go along with Brother Branham? Because it says, neither having done good or evil. See? Got your two vines. Now watch, that the purpose of God according to election. Now watch, the purpose of God according to election. See? The train that runs down by the river, not the train that runs up above the river. So he's using a phraseology. It's got to be according to election, a choosing. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Now watch, the calling will determine the works. The foreknowledge will actually precede that. Because it's foreknowledge, election, predestination. But of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why? Because the deeds of one is evil and the deed of the other is righteous. And it is in the book of Genesis, the brother said here from the congregation, that's exactly true, and you're going back to Cain. And we'll go back tonight if we get time in Brother Branham's message. How much time we got doesn't matter. We want to look at this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Now there can't be, because God is an object of worship. And being completely sovereign through his omniscience and his omnipotence, his creative power and all, he can do exactly what he wants. Now, will there be then an act that God will ever himself do apart from his own word? Never. He can't do it. There cannot be unrighteousness with God. You say, well, this has to do with picking people. Just a minute. What are they being picked for? Huh? Tell me. Worship. Service. You think God's going to make a wrong choice? You think God can do something wrong? Never go outside of his word. It's impossible. Because, you see, if he judged back there according to his word, and will judge the world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus, according to the word, Paul says, my gospel, how, and that's by vindication, how can there possibly be a misstep in the judgment of God himself? He is righteous. All his ways are perfect. Now you can see right here from what I'm saying, isn't it marvelous that you and I have Jesus who has become our righteousness, and we stand in God's righteousness, not imputing works to us or iniquity or anything else. It's marvelous to know that we have this complete link with God by our union. See, that's what it says. We become the righteousness of God by our union with him. So when Brother Branham talks of these things, you can see the intimate relationship and the marvel of everything he says in this sermon, and people sat there blind. Okay. For he said to Moses, I will. He didn't say, Moses, what would you like? He didn't say, Moses, how would you like to go down to Egypt? He said, Moses, you're going down. And I'm going down with you. See? Now, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, what did Brother Branham say compassion was? Doing the word of God. So God has compassion, and that compassion must be in this word. That's why I've kept preaching. I don't buy this stuff called love. It's got to be from this word. And if it isn't identical with it, what's in our heart, our hearts, and what wants to come forth, there's got to be a discrepancy. Brother Branham called the seed of discrepancy. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Certainly, these weren't born to even have a will to acquiesce or disagree. So not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. Because this takes place before there's anything to will or run. But God that showeth mercy. Now notice right in here, there is a quality in God which is called mercy. Now how's he going to display mercy unless there's somebody there that requires mercy? Now here's where we get the illuminating factor of God that Irenaeus preached and Brother Branham was so strong for. Brother Branham used to call it deep calleth unto deep. The little boy chewed the rubber on the bicycle pedal because he needed sulfur. If there's a need in here, there's an answer out there, a deep calling to deep. I took the Christian Science attitude for years, and my answer was there's no such thing as a problem without an answer, because if there's no answer, there's no problem. And therefore, a problem only means that you're looking for the answer, because the answer's there and the problem is good for you because there is an answer and God wants you to have the answer, which you wouldn't have without a problem. Philadelphia lawyer, my foot. Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, it was necessary that God predestinate a sinner in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. And this is what you're looking at. So God was a God of mercy before mercy was needed, and therefore he predestinated. Now he's telling you where all of his virtues and his innateness, where it flows to. Like I tell you, time after time, everything is in threes. Omniscience, omnipotence, love. So now, within that nature of love, and you have to admit the way we are, there has to be the strain of mercy. Well, the point is, if nobody needed it, what have you got it for? Now, this is where I find that this message is a total killer, and many people misunderstand when I say under my ministry, which I base upon Brother Branham's, and I believe is identical to it except on the grounds I use more scripture and take more time. You can literally die under this ministry of this word because you don't go way back what's in the heart of God. You don't go back where Brother Branham preached and showed by absolute vindication he knew what he was talking about. God being a Savior, he had to predestinate a sinner. God being a healer, he had to predestinate a sick man. God being merciful, he had to predestinate someone who needed mercy. This is why he said these people didn't understand. They said God was like Buddha with his hands across his big fat belly and looked down at the little children and women being ripped up and killed. Just stood back and watched. And Brother Branham said they didn't understand God. They didn't know his nature. Now, you think of these things when we begin to talk about your soul giving a nature. You didn't catch me, did you? You'll get to it. You're going to find out in your soul is a nature. And if your soul is a gene from God, you're one with this word. And how will you have love or anything else outside of this word? You can't do it. You and I can't do it. This may sound a bit abstract. It is not abstract. Because when you begin to consider these things that Brother Branham brought and laid before us here absolutely vindicated, you begin to say, well, just a minute, it's all cut and dry. And you don't perceive the omniscience and the omnipotence comes out of love. And you waste away and die. They do it. Don't tell me they don't. I know better than that. Of course, I say that's because you have merely a mental revelation. That's a lot of hogwash. But I'm going to tell you flat, it's got to come by your mind. Otherwise, each one would be a brainless idiot at birth, and who would lead us. Study your Old Testament, you will find that God could not have a priest, and we will be priests and kings unto him who had any one thing wrong with his body. And the mind is far greater than the body. So I want you to just watch with me as you go through this. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now listen, I read this purpose here a minute ago. Having done any good, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. So God's got a purpose, and it stands in election, and God has a purpose here, and he raised up Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's the devil. Cast to Pharaoh the serpent seed. That I might show my power in thee, my name might be declared through all the earth. Boy, is it. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Oh. God says he hardens them. You know how he hardens them? He's showing mercy to one, not to the other fellow. Have you ever felt jealous because somebody else got a healing and you didn't? Have you ever felt jealous because somebody gave something to someone and didn't give it to you? Oh, come on, we all go through it. Are you being tested? Am I being tested? A little bit of Pharaoh? Huh? Hardened. You got hardened because he showed favor or mercy to Moses. For everyone that receives mercy, I would say there's millions out there who cannot receive it. They weren't meant to. But God would be glorified just then. Now watch. Thou wilt then say to me, why doth he yet find fault? Why didn't he just, why didn't he get off my back? Why is he on my case? What's going on anyway? Where's his fairness? Where's all this talk about God being good, God this, that? Now watch Paul. Why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nobody. Because it's all going to come out in the wash. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Now there's your answer. Omnipotence, omniscience, and yet love. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power? Doesn't God have the mastery over the whole human race of clay? Now remember, the word Adam actually means clay, red clay. It's clay. We come from the ground. We're a lump of clay. Come out of the ground. The one lump. A vessel to honor, a vessel to dishonor. What if God willing to show his wrath and make his power known? Endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Now listen, he's doing that now. Brother Branham categorically said there's billions here for cannon fodder, for the atomic bomb. What is God doing right now? See? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, and he's going to, because he's coming back after the great tribulation, and even during it, it's still known, because remember, they won't repent, they're gnawing their tongues in pain, and they're screaming and cursing God. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. No repentance. There's nothing in there to repent. But they're worshiping just the same. They know God. They understand now. They're forced to it. Where's all your goofy scientists now? See? Your smart theologians, what have you, that denied it. Now, he said, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. Now notice, they are fitted to destruction, and in the Greek, this says they fit themselves to it. But when you get down here, you'll notice that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared. And that's what John saw when he came on the scene. The vessels were prepared, but they weren't ready. Now, God's always had his prepared vessels. But until this age, they weren't ready for immortality and resurrection and rapture and wedding supper and coming back. Because it wasn't time. And all that time, God suffered. In other words, he allowed. See? Now, he says here, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels that he had prepared. Okay? What do we read over here in Ephesians? God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and to give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know his hope of his calling, what the riches of glory is inherent in the saints. And then the rapture, after the resurrection. See, the complete dovetailing. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he said in Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people there, they shall be called the children of the living God. Now notice the living God. And you know that terminology, living God, is very, very valuable. Because God is already living. Why do you call him the living God? Because he's the God of the living, and he's inextricably bound up with you and me, his children. And he's the same way with all nature. Because he's going to bring it all back. You cannot afford to misplace these things. It'll come to Isaiah also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Now listen a minute there again. He's going to cut it short in righteousness. He's going to bring the people right into the full understanding, respect, and cooperation with the word and worship. Now listen a minute. That they may be one, and Brother Branham said that was his prayer, that we may be one. He'll talk about it here. In that day, in the arm of the Father, you and me and I knew. And he's talking about that. And remember now, it's in Hebrews. Well, let's just swing there. I flip to it right now. And it says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. So what have you got here? What I'm trying to show you this is the time there's a remnant, which is in this hour. He's going to cut the work short in righteousness, which means the definitive revelation bringing us into the perfect position of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a quick work. And if you take 50 years against 2,000, it's a very quick work. So we're in the process right now. Hey, look. He started it in righteousness. It's got to finish in righteousness. And we're speaking absolutely in terms of Jesus, the centrality of the whole universe in history. Because he stood for those that would come up, and he stood for us who would come after. As I've said many times, only one person ever lived it. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. But we believe it. If we believe... We're considered one with him. And he'll cause a short work because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the harvest had left a seed, we'd been a Sodom and Gomorrah. Now remember, that's the burning. So there is a remnant in this hour before the burning. What should we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, well, they had their own system, my heavens, have now attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which of faith is a faith, which is a true revelation of God, the people of God, the relationship, the worship, the oneness. And remember, the Omega is what I just read, standing in the midst of the church, everybody praising God. And he not ashamed of us because we are of one source. Now listen, that one source gives you the truth. God being a Savior, he had to predestinate a people, a sinner people, who require salvation. God being a shepherd, he had to predestinate a sheep-like people in order to be a shepherd. God not being a wolf, he couldn't have anything to do with wolves. Depart from me, you understand what we're saying? But Israel, which has followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained of the law of righteousness. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. So therefore Israel followed the law. And that law was not the truly revealed word of Almighty God. So therefore they could not attain to that righteousness which is of the Lord. You'll find that in the tenth chapter. And it says here, for they being ignorant, of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So therefore it says here, but Israel, which followed after the law, you see, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They had a law which they were following, but they didn't have the law in their hearts. And what is that? That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It wasn't there. If it had been there, they'd have recognized Him and followed Him. That's with this message. It's as simple as ABC. If you're ordained to it, you're not going to miss it. And if you're not ordained to it, you're not going to get it. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, see, by works, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. In other words, I'm going to lay out something here that you're not going to believe, you won't like, and you don't want it. But if you believe, everything's going to be fine. Now that's 1 Corinthians, the first and second chapters. You can read it yourself. And whosoever shall believe on Him shall not be ashamed. All right, now we're going to go with this to Romans, the 5th chapter. We'll start reading in verses 5, beg your pardon, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Now, I want you to notice he's a man. You're not talking about the cloud that followed and the rock that followed. You're not talking about that. You're talking about the man here. The man that's on the throne, the one that's called the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Think of David. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. It's out of your hands. Therefore, as the offenses of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men unto justification. That means you're completely free. Never did in the first place. For as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so the obedience of one shall make the same many righteous. Now, you say you're perverting Scripture. No way. The Bible says Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. If you were in Adam, which was the natural processes that God laid down, you're alive. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized in His death? Therefore were buried with Him by baptism into death, that as like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You'll notice right in here, the baptism with the Holy Ghost that Brother Branham said literally gives us something commensurate or like in that area. Let's face it, we're not talking now of you and me have the root of sin taken out. We just stand here kind of like motivated by the Holy Ghost, kind of zombie controlled or Pinocchio controlled by somebody controlling us. We're not saying that. Brother Branham categorically did say the baptism with the Holy Ghost makes up for the fact we bypassed the spirit or the word body. We came down here in flesh to be tempted by sin, to be tempted. And that temptation which is in us and in a soul is that choice to do or not to do. And the five senses in here, and you talk about it, just gives us havoc. It causes us problems. Drives you crazy. Don't know which way to go. See? All right, you got a big problem there. That is true. And nobody denies that. But the fact of the matter is, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you're in a resurrection. Waiting for the complete change of your resurrection. Waiting for the fullness of your adoption when you get your new body. Brother Branham said all those things. Don't worry about them. Just believe them. Now he said here, we're raised in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised to the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and he liveth unto God. Now, what am I using all this scripture for? Because there are people in the world today, and they say, I believe in predestination. Oh, I love it. I think it's marvelous. Now, with predestination comes eternal security. Now, many people in predestination now turn to being hard shell, or exactly why God's Brother Branham said God raised up Luther with sanctification, because Calvinism under Luther had gone to seed where they had what you call antinomianism, which means they said, if you're predestinated, you don't need to be born again. You're going to make it anyway. So they bypassed what is known as the means. Well, they said, Jesus died, his blood's on the mercy seat, hallelujah, sins forgiven. And they would say the best, they'd say, I have a reason of hope. But to be born again, forget it. They bypass the means. You cannot do that. You must be born again. You must be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Baptists came by, the rest of them, not hard shells. And they turned around and said, hey, bless God, I can do what I want, hallelujah, because now I'm born again, eternal secure. Oh, God. Now, I know that Dr. Rice did not mean the way people took it. And the big argument came on with predestined eternal security. And he said, look, and he said, I'm going to tell you what I can't remember his words exactly, but strong on eternal security, he said, if the rapture took place and I was in the arms of a harlot, God would snatch me out. Now, he shouldn't have said it. But in a limited sense, that's 100% true. But it's 10-1, if he's going to snatch you out of her arms before at the time of the rapture, he'd like to take a rock and bust your head in a few times to smarten you up. Rice was trying to make a point, and he shouldn't have made it that way. Because it tells you right here, if you're born, baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have died to that, and now you're risen in Christ, and you won't do those things. And people, I can do what I want. I'm born again. I'm eternally secure. You're a liar. You never were born again. And I'm not pointing my finger at anybody here. That's just about those who talk those things. So I've read all this scripture because Brother Branham brought this out here. I'll read my notes again, short. For our reading in this sermon, in our dissertation number 13, we found Brother Branham speaking on the child of God being predestinated according to the Bible. According to the Bible. But a lot of other guys say, I got the same Bible. I read it the same way. But we found his understanding of the subject was far from what many people teach on the part of predestination, which pertains to the security of the believer. You see, the security of the believer lies in one fact, seed. You are either seed or you are not seed. That's what it is. And we were put here in flesh to be tempted and tried. And Adam fell, and everyone in Adam died. Now remember, Eve was in Adam. Yep, they all died. But even so, in Christ, all are made alive. So we see this scripture here to show predestination that if you're seed, you are going to make it, and you're going to make it according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which absolutely denies the lusts of the flesh and worship God in spirit and in truth, and has a testimony that can stand against the world. So, all right, that's what Brother Branham taught. I remember very distinctly when they came against Brother Branham that time, and the man came to him and said he's going to prove that he was of the devil, and it was a Church of Christ guy. You better believe that's a bunch. They just got that spirit of hell on them. And a lot of them can fool you as though they love God. They don't, because my Bible said, if you make Jesus a non-healer, you make the devil a healer, and you make Jesus the devil, you hate him. You see why I stand with the Word of God and say, don't tell me your mushy junk about how you love. Give it to somebody else. Don't leave veil. Don't give it to me. I'm like the fellow that said, listen, don't you tell somebody who needs something. Be you warmed and fed. And don't give them something. You know what? I had too good a supper, so I won't vomit. I wouldn't like it if I did. But that stuff makes me vomit. You don't say, be you warmed and fed and do nothing. Now remember, the minute you give him that food and that clothing, that's the end of it to him. But you open the door to treasures in heaven and the blessing of God, even earthly. And if you can't handle the unrighteous mammon, don't think for one minute you're going to handle the heavenly. the true riches, you can't do it. Who's got the gold? Rome. You think they got any heavenly manna? Any riches, true riches? Come on. I feel so sorry for Jackie O, Mrs. Onassis. She didn't need to die the way she died in my books. But she had to, because you know why? She's part of the establishment, the medical doctors, the cancer society, that has more people working for it than even people that have cancer. That take billions of dollars and give nothing in return. And she couldn't try other types of natural medicine. Maybe I'm judging her too harshly. But I'm going to say the next thing. How much hope did the Pope give her 5 minutes after she left her body? Yeah. Yeah, they say, be you warmed and fed and give them nothing. Yeah, they take the money. Going to pray you out of hell. I got no faith in anybody going to try to pray me out of hell if he can't get me out of hell in the first place. Because I've got no faith he ever going to do anything for me. Now, we read the scripture. In summation, concerning these two sets of scripture, we see that predestination does not bypass means of salvation, and neither does it annul the responsibility to obey the word of God, but only, mind you, in truth and reality, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, putting these two sets of scripture together as to the passive and active faith, we can begin to see a newborn babe growing up unto a mature Christian of the full stature of Christ by adding word upon word upon word until the adult is completely, perfectly spirit-filled and has come to the place of perfection. And remember, the perfect are those who were initiated into truth. Now the point is, what is truth? Only vindication will prove it. We are the only people who can qualify with the first century Christians, with Paul, that we have been initiated into the truth and we are now perfect. Of course, the word also means polished, finished off, nothing more to be added. Thus, after Brother Branham has preached with very strong emphasis on a Christian life, not only as to behavior and what we are all inclined to endorse as moral conduct, but also in a Christian's dress. Doesn't matter how you dress and whether you put gewgaws on and this or that or the other thing. Why, what's that little sweet spirit inside? Hallelujah. Hogwash. They reject it. He lays their discrepancies upon a lack of true baptism. Bless God, you can't tell that woman's got the Holy Ghost or not by looking at the way she dresses. Now, that's partly true. And I'll tell you why it's partly true. She may have been taught wrong, but when the light strikes, if she doesn't change her dress, Now, many a sister has been taught wrong. Some of you women sitting here, your older ones particularly, know full well what I'm talking about. You were actually born again. But you didn't dress right any more than my wife did. She looked her prettiest, I got to admit it. Years ago, I had a beautiful green slack suit outfit I bought her. Her blonde hair was down to her shoulders. She'd come by the office I work, and the men in this, their eyes would bug her. I didn't know you had such a beautiful wife. I said, what do you think? You don't think a guy like me would marry somebody that wasn't beautiful? Yeah. Argue to Brother Branham. He'd just grin and say, well, stick around us long enough, you'll let your hair grow. Yeah. And I told you, one told the brother, different brothers with me over here in Troy one time, I said, I'm going to tell you guys something. Switch her over. I said, Brother Branham is too great a man of God, too great a prophet to deal in tiddlywink things. If he says women shouldn't cut their hair, there's got to be a reason they shouldn't cut their hair. But I knew I wasn't going to force my wife. No, she got to have something inside of her. She saw Brother Branham before I did, and she fell in love with the ministry, the whole thing, so, and hoped she could just maybe, by some great extraordinary miracle and act of God, some special dispensation, the Holy Ghost, maybe just get the Jefferson and put her feet on the sidewalks. How many times you been to Jeffersonville, Ellison, and put your feet on the sidewalks under the same table with Meade and Bill? So I said, all right, look, kid, here's what it is. I don't believe Brother Branham's a tiddlywink prophet, some kind of a fool. You do what you want about your hair, but I don't think you should ever cut it again. She never cut it again. Another man told his wife the same thing. She let her hair grow. The third man loved short hair. You think a woman looks feminine? Oh, let's go vulgar and call it the world is sexy. As in differentiation between male and female, and you see the attraction thereof. If you think the hair looks good short and makes her look that much more ravishing, you and I don't agree, honey. Forget. Okay? So she let her hair grow. This other guy, he liked the short hair, and I won't tell you what happened to him, but it wasn't nice. He got completely deceived. And his wife, I guess if she's living, she's still there with the Pentecostals. All right. Let me tell you this then. He lays their discrepancies, their lack of proper dress, the cutting of the hair, and all those things to the lack of the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. For when the light strikes, they're going to change. For a true baptism would bring forth the dress and the behavior and no hypocrisy. Now, you may wonder why I can make this statement here. Let me tell you about a man that suddenly realized he should pay tithes and didn't pay tithes. So one day, Brother Branham gets a check in the mail and money ordered for $1,500. Right away, he gets on the phone. He said, Brother, he said, tell me, why did you send me this $1,500? Well, he said, Brother Branham, I just learned last week, he said, that how to tithe. He said, I never knew you're supposed to tithe. And he said, now I want to catch up and make up. He said, I'm sending the money back. What you were ignorant of is not held against you, but now you know, start paying your tithes from this day on. So, women, perhaps you want to do it. Some girls do. They've been advised by a certain lady and won't tell you how it's done. I won't tell you who told them. But she said, here's what you do. You get so many permanents, your hair gets so crispy, you can just break it off at the bottom and you'll have short hair. Yeah. 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 That's like going down to the bar and dancing with filth and sluts and slime instead of dancing in the Holy Spirit. Maybe out there in the desert somewhere. Oh, you can do that. You can dance unto God. But you can sure dance unto the devil and dance plumb into hell. Okay, we're going to start reading now. And this is, we got through what we're talking about. So here I'm going to read a little bit and we'll go right on. I'm going to reread 83 on page 26. Therefore, if you tonight just come and said, I offer Jesus Christ my life, and you never received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, come into it. Now watch. You must do it. You must grow into it. Ask God to pile word upon word like that until you become the full stature of a son of God or a daughter of God. In other words, you'll quit dressing the women the way they are, quit cutting their hair and doing the doing, and the men will line up also. This is not just a man's religion. He cracks the whip and she's got to dress this way and that way like a big smart-mouthed woman, brethren preacheress. One way she was accosted about her dress. She said, listen here, I'll dress like Martha when you dress like George. Oh, big joke. Oh, words of such wisdom. Oh, such pearls of Kalmanur. A fool, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Yeah. She was revered. I'll dress like Martha when you dress like George. Of course, Washington, you know. The first lady and the first gentleman. She was so far from George and his wife, Martha, she shouldn't even use their names. Now, what did Brother Branham tell you? He doesn't say go to the altar and you think you get the Holy Ghost by this and this. He said, what you do, you grow up into it to the full stature. The fullness of the Spirit. Taking the things of the world. First John says, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not even in you. Now, right there, when you talk about that, you are talking about righteousness and unrighteousness. Why? Because the person that loves the world is unrighteous, and the person that doesn't is righteous. And righteousness had to do with worshiping God according to a true revelation by the Holy Ghost within you. You know what I'm saying? And how in the world can anybody love the world or the things of the world, which means Brother Branham at this point is equating, because this is religion we're talking about. This is spirit. This is worship. This is the heavenly community. The fatherhood of God and His children we're talking about. And all that pertains to it. And he is literally equating cosmos to the person, or giving, calling him part of cosmos, even no matter how diligent or how diligent she is in attempting to worship and serve God, until your mouth is so small that you can only eat peas one at a time. You're just so meticulous. And you never say the word gosh. Because you know, if you even said the word goodness, you'd be criticized. You'd be condemned. You know what I'm telling you? There's a true church brother, sister, a true bride. And I don't care what else you, what they say, or what anybody else says. He says right here, if you love the world and things of the world, it's because the love of God is not even in you. And he's talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have that love. And if you don't have that word, you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's what he said right here. Hey, I'm in good mood for a fight. Any man or woman stand beside me right now and prove me wrong by what I just read. Come on, I challenge you. Because you don't even follow me, do you? You want me to go over it again? Huh? I got a bunch of wooden Indians sitting here. Let me go over it again. Come into the Holy Ghost. You must do it. You must grow into it. How do you do it? By piling word upon word upon word. So if you don't get word upon word upon word, you don't get the Holy Ghost, right? Huh? Okay. And then if you don't get the Holy Ghost, you love the world, right? You get it this time? I'm a nice guy. Come on, be sweet. I have to teach this way. There's no other way I can teach it. If I don't teach it this way, I don't get it, you don't get it. See, you people are all fools. You think I knew this ahead of time. I didn't know this ahead of time. It's your faith that does it. See, I want to show you that tremendous ability lies in a prophet. That's why some people got carried away and made him God. He's not God. She's God to the people, though. He said, it's because the love of God is not even in you. And if the love of God is not in you, the Holy Ghost is not in you, then the Word is not in you. Then where are you at? You're right back where Eve was. She got from behind the Word. Right where Cain was. And Cain was serpent seed. And he was a twin. Two separate fathers. Oh, mackerel. That's a bad one. You've been deceived. You've got the love of the world there, and it's deceived you. And the devil has deceived you by piling things on there and showing you. So the devil says, come unto my church, pile on word, word upon word, word upon word, word upon word. Aha! Now more of the spirit of hell, more of the spirit of hell, more of the spirit of hell. Huh? You don't like that, do you? That's nasty. What's he talking about? You tell me what he's talking about. They got the wrong word in there. Short hair? High heels? How many of you say, well, if I don't wear those high heels, I'm fat and dumpy? Well, a poor camel, he's big and humpy. And he's God's creature, and he ain't fussing. Well, Brother Daylight had these so long now, I simply can't do without them. My feet hurt. Boy, those are the best excuses I ever heard in my life. Well, I'll buy them. I'll say, yep. If I said, yep, I'd be a deceiver. These are kind of hard things to say, you know, but the point is this. If I don't say them, then I'm condemned. Brother Branham says somebody has to tell them. The last thing he told me, one of the last things he told me, except of the fact that I knew that he had no fear, love had cast out all fear. And I'd complained that I was preaching too hard. And he said, it's too late. Somebody's got to tell him. It was too late for him because he'd soon be off the scene. Well, I realize that Brother Branham, everything is such profound love. Hey, listen, please understand that I'm not like Brother Branham. I could be up here just gigging you for the fact I like to gig people with this word. I could be a hypocrite doing it. My motive could be wrong. I could be using a club and be a hypocrite, but I'm not. Because if my wife tried to have high slippers, which she can't wear anyway, I'd break every one of them. If her ankle got broken in the mid-process, that's her tough luck. Because I can say this, she's not going to wear them. She's not going to cut her hair. There's no way. If she did, we'd have to separate. And if I go down the drain, I go, listen, hon, don't you ever follow me if I'm wrong. We've got an understanding. We both face God on our own two feet. But I've got to give an account for her, which she can't give an account for me. I've got to give an account to this church. See? You've got the love of the world in there. It's deceiving. The devil has been piling things on there and showing you his interpretation. I put that in there because that's what he's talking about. He's got to be talking about that there if he's talking about the truth up here. He's making a comparison. He's showing one against the other. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to stick with the word. And if I didn't stick with the word, you people wouldn't be here. Ha! You think I'm that stupid? I'm not stupid. I'm not nice, maybe, but I'm not stupid. So he said, you can't follow that. You cannot take one word of God out of the Bible. You see, that's your weak link. You take one brick out, and the whole building could fall. You see, when you talk about taking one word out, you are speaking in terms of a log jam. And a log jam is where they floated all the logs down the river until they jam, and there's a log in there known as the key log. And you get that one key log out of there, all the rafts float down again. So there is in this scripture something far more desperate and tragic concerning men's lives. One word, that one word is a key log, and you watch, your whole thing bounces up. The whole thing breaks up and goes floating down. Good for a log jam, but not for you and me, honey. You can't take one word out of the Bible. What caused the first sin? Not just a big point, blank line, but because Eve misconstrued, the devil did it to her, one word. One word broke the chain, and Eve refused to take one word. That was the beginning in the Bible. Jesus came in the center of the Bible, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone. What's he telling you? Jesus looked back and interpreted the scene in the Garden of Eden. He said, take ye, take what the world eats. Hold it right there. What was the first sin? Sex. What is the world eating today? Sex. They're telling every kid and they've taught them, hey, you're entitled to it. You've got the hormones. Now is the time. Go ahead. But they say, have safe sex. Watch AIDS. I told a joke one time to Brother Branham. He wouldn't let me finish it. I won't tell you what it was. He looked at me and he sneered. He said, Lee, you know better. You're a man. You hear what I'm talking about? You men know what I'm talking about. You women know also. There's no such thing as safe sex that you give any adolescent or anybody else. Word upon word, one word. And then you know what the word they've added today? Safe. It isn't. They're liars. I'd keep my kids out of school. I'd chain them up, I think, if I had to, but you can't do that. Eve listened. And Cain took over as a priest of Satan worship. And they worshiped God. But he was Satan's priest. Just like Judas was an emissary of Satan, though he worshiped God. This is, without a doubt, what Cain did. He became that priest. Man shall not live by bread alone, said the one that came in the middle of the Bible, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the entire Word of God. Do you believe that's a revelation of Him? The entire Word of God. So therefore, Brother Brown is telling us flat. The entire Word of God, word upon word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, up to the stature of perfect man, complete full revelation, and we're freely full of the Holy Ghost now, we're completely sealed, and we're in perfection. How could there be a true bride with the ultimate in seven ages unless this came upon us? Now, I've just read last week, so we start today. Then in Revelation 22, Jesus came to John in the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, my messenger, to testify to these things. See, whosoever shall take one word out of it or add one word to it, I'll take his part of the book of life. I like what Brother Branham said here. Now, he's talking about the one that appeared. He said, I, Jesus, I'm sending my messenger to give you all these things. And then he takes this one verse at the tail end of Revelation 22, and he said, this is what it's all about. Because when this message is brought at the end time, Revelation 10, 1-7, which is also Revelation 22, 10-14, he said, you take one word and it's all over. Add one word, it's all over. You can't do it. Now remember, he's talking to women and men. He's discussing conduct and the deep things of God, because you cannot discuss the deep things of God without a deeper conduct. And I don't mean mysticism. That's the biggest bunch of jerk stuff in the world. You'd have had Brother Jeff Hall talk about one, and you can have Brother John. He'll tell you what went on in England there. Homosexual pervert and the Pentecostal pervert, putting everybody under bondage. Didn't know left hand or right hand. You know something? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not the kind of junk that people try to put in this message. Brother Branham wasn't that kind of a man. Listen, I lived with him. I worked with him. A lot of them say, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all right. Then add the rest to it. Now, Brother Branham doesn't say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is God himself. He does not say that. He agrees 100% that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Add the rest. Well, the rest to some people is he's on the throne comatose. That's a lie from the pit of hell. What good is a person comatose is supposed to be your mediator and intercessor? Right. What good is a doctor's comatose and supposed to give you the right pills at the right time? Yeah. Good Lord. How many women, well, I would not ask that question because you might agree. How many of you women like your men comatose? You might say, brother, they wouldn't. I love it, at least for a little while. Well, the men could say the same thing. But that's the question. It's ridiculous. You see, I've been justified. I gave my hand to the minister. I believe in Christ. Then you got to be born again. No problem there. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. How? Word upon word upon word upon word. See? And remember, the word upon word is in this last hour. And Brother Branham is speaking concerning himself and his vindication to the bride. He said, I believe I'm here to dress the bride. Put on the wedding garment. Just keep adding on as you keep going on. Aha. Now, see, many people don't think they're going on. Have you added to your night tonight to your own thinking, to your own soul, to your own intrinsic makeup concerning your fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, with his brothers and sisters down here? That you've learned the principles now and you are more assured. Because you know more, you have piled word upon word, and you are more full of the Holy Ghost now than you were when you came in here. And I bet 99% of you will deny it. And I'm just as bad as you are. Because we're not thinking. We're not thinking, we're not believing. We hear all this thing and say, well, isn't that nice, isn't that nice, isn't that nice? That's a beautiful theory, beautiful theory, beautiful theory, down the road, down the road. Now. I am more full of the Holy Ghost tonight than when I came in here. And as I bring this word, I'll be more and more full of the Holy Ghost. You say, I don't think it computes. There you are. You don't believe a vindicated message. So let's all get drunk. We all go and get drunk. Booze is not that expensive. We can't buy enough to get drunk. Yeah. After last night, you bound and you know, said, never do that for Bale again. My Lord, he preaches worse than ever. Give him roses, what does he hand us? Bunch of bricks.
No, I'm handing you the Word of God. You are more full than you were 15 minutes ago. I'm going to keep on reading, and you'll get a little bit more. Because he says that. You're growing in the stature of a son and daughter of God. Mine. God is able to prepare us and to give us that craving in our lives that we want to see something. Now, he said if you're predestined, you're going to want to see something in deepest calling to deep. Now, amen. Now, watch how he talks to the people. How many in here want more of God? You raise your hand. Everybody. Why? It goes to show there's more for you. Now, let's watch, though. My notes I've appended. But they turned down the very truth that would have quenched their thirst. One of which was, put your dresses on and let your hair grow. Get your high heel slippers off. And the gunk and goo off your face, the mascara and the eyeshadow and all that crap.
Amen. Well, brother, that's just something on the outside.
I ask you a question. How many men picked their ties tonight and put them on? Come on, brace your hand. Don't be a bunch of slouches. That's it. I did too. And you know how it was done? Something inside of my body. Yeah. And looked through my eyes. Said, that's a green suit. Better get a green tie. Oh, a little bit of red. Ha! Well, I've got food on the shirt, though. Well, that could be an off-white. If you have a white shirt, you should have a little bit of white in there. Who did it? I did it. Who's I? The gene from God, if I have the right soul. So, all right. Did they then turn their dresses to the right thing? No. Turning it down brings a seared conscience. And they don't even realize, because the conscience is seared, they have a filthy spirit on them. So once more, how about my teaching of you, the gals that wore the split skirts at the back? Brother Brand said, don't show your knees. So you thought that's the front of the knee. What about the back of the knee? The front of the knee is not perversion. That's just human lust. The back of the knee, my dear buddy, that's a different picture. That's filth. See, Bill, you sure gun for people. Well, you present a beautiful target, you asked for it. And I can tell you one thing, I watch their lives and you see where they go. Men who lie will steal, they'll revere money, they'll go to sex. Do you remember what I told you about reading a Veterans of Foreign War magazine? You remember how I told you in East Germany, which was Germany, of course, all of Germany, the Russians came in. And the big-wig Germans took the planes and they tried to soothe all the staff and everybody, women and men there. And they said, there'll be planes to get you out of here, knowing there wouldn't be planes. And the Russians started coming in. What did the men and women do? Now, get this flat. They took their clothes off and committed every sex act they could. You know why? Death was staring them. This is why you have the filth you got in the world today. And these women that take their clothes off and act the way they do, contrary to Brother Branham, that spirit cannot be a God. Listen, I don't care what you tell me. I don't care. Listen, I got to face my wife. I got to face my sisters. I got to face everybody. And I blaze over these things. Why? Because I'm a goody-goody? Oh, for Pete's sake, I'm not a goody-goody, I'm a slob. I've had as many filthy thoughts and ideas any man living could have, because I'm a very fast thinker, so I got a whole lot more than most people. So don't put me down as some goody-goody pointing a finger. And it's the easiest thing in the world is to listen to the prophet and know what he says to do. See? He said, It goes to show you there's more for you. See, you're craving it. Your little birth pains, watch, your little birth pains are coming on. See, coming up to the stature. See, you need more. So you can be happy and free. And watch that word, I used it, perfect. I beat him to the punch. No, I didn't. I just had to use it there. We got to be like the little germ of life being in the bosom of God. Just like to the germ of life in the bosom of the mother. Bosom of God? Well, we'll talk about that a little later. Now watch. Paragraph 85. God growing. Remember, Brother Branham used the word becoming. That's why I used the word becoming. Brother Branham was criticized being a very poor speaker, but I think he was wonderful. He used that word becoming because God is becoming. And you can see the becoming God from Genesis right to Revelation, and you can see what he finally becomes all through the book. Pillar of fire over the throne of the Lamb and the bride all around him. Becoming God. Listen. And God's growing. God, listen. God's growing. He's becoming and going. Gone to prepare the place for us. The eternal place with himself. Not a place where you're in a pest house, dying in sin, adultery, and filth of the world here. If your mind's on that, it shows you have never come in contact with God. Now remember, he's been criticizing the dress and all those things, and he said that woman doesn't know that she's a prostitute, a filthy spirit on her. She might have been true to her husband, but she's committed adultery with every man that looked at her. I remember the first time the little Baptist preacher, Brother Nunn, left Red Deer, Alberta, up in Canada. And that man was a fine man of God, a Baptist. And they voted in a young couple. And the first thing, he's preaching a modern gospel, because that's what they wanted. And now they're going down the street, and she's in shorts, bicycling down the road. And everybody with their eyes, sticking out like, you know, committing adultery, every man looked at her. Oh, you filthy men. No, you filthy women. Now, hey, I didn't write the Bible. I'm not vindicated. I'll tell you one thing. If I preach vindication, you better listen. See? Now, he says here, where am I now? Page 28. Okay. Now, he said, if that's on your mind, it shows it never has come in contact with God. You think they like those Pentecostals and they like what he said? Now listen, he's been hitting the dress code. See, you're worked up. It's all emotion. You got a mental illusion, not a spiritual revelation, see. You just joined the church and you're saying, well, I belong to this. My mother belonged to that. That might have been all right in your mother's day, but you're living in another day. Now you see, what you're looking at every single time is you don't stop at John 3:16, you go on. And this is the condemnation, in spite of the fact that God has made a way that there cannot be any condemnation, yet there is condemnation, because the way of God was a sacrifice to clear you and put you in a position with that word that you could go on with that word and the Holy Ghost given to make sure you got it all. So they don't want it. See? Now that might have been all right in that day. Wesley's message would never be the same as Luther. He just couldn't take Luther. Luther believed in justification. He went to seed. Antinomianism. But Wesley had sanctification. That's a good, clean life. Pentecostals came along. They couldn't take justification and sanctification. It was time for the restoration of gifts. Now we're going from their seed. The three stages of the vine coming up. First, it's a little blade. Luther came up from Reformation. All right, that was the stock. Watch nature. God in nature works in continuity because God is in nature. Because he's controlling it. That's what he's telling. And he controls it according to what he is. Huh? What can you control anything according to, except what's in you, according to you, or what you got to work with? So God's going to control it according to God. The next came the tassel, the Poland, the Methodist age. Then came the Pentecostals. Oh my, just so perfect. See, just like the grain of wheat. Look like it's a perfect wheat, grain of wheat. Open it up. There's no wheat in it at all. It's a shuck. It's a carrier. But that life is working on through. See? See, that's what you're looking at. In other words, here, it's working on through. What's it working through to? It's working through to get the perfect seed that God put there. Now notice, when you leave here, you go to your spirit or word body. When you come back, you pick up immortal flesh. Now you're there. It's worked through to that. Adam and Eve aborted it. They put in an interruption. He wanted to go to the tree of life and become immortal. No way. You blew it. Now you got to wait the next turnaround. Now what happens? You don't go to immortality. Immortality comes to you. Ha-ha. Big difference. Big difference. I'd ask you a question. How did any man ever came to God? Hogwash. God comes to man. He said, you never called me, I called you. See? Now, true to what? The perfect one. For the perfect place. And Brother Branham said that place is perfect. And we got to be perfect. See? So there we are. And as you look back on Luther and Wesley, organized, as Brother Branham said, after 3 years, go back, you'll see that the most that can come out of that would be a foolish virgin. Okay, here's where we quit tonight. When we get back with you, Wednesday, if we do get back then, we'll take two more paragraphs. Or whatever, I don't. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the time we spend here realizing, Lord, if we have been speaking truth, and the truth then is in us because we receive it, and we certainly do receive it in the mechanical, and you gave it by vindication, and having received it then, Lord, it's up to you to water it, which you have said you would, so we believe tonight, contrary to our own feelings, contrary to our own thinking, contrary to everything that's about us, except that little seed within us, we know that we are more full of the Holy Ghost tonight than we were before we came in. And there is a progression, there is an upbuilding, an edifying, until we come right to headship, which we know is going to be when we stand with you in the midst of the church singing praise unto Almighty God, and we all recognize our source and our positions within it, and then on and on to the great, beautiful time of the pyramidal city, the New Jerusalem, who really is our mother, coming to shelter us and just make everything the way we truly desire. And Lord, we truly desire these things. And if we don't desire them enough, then I pray, Lord, that you will be good to us and cause us to flee from anything that is against what we are looking at tonight from a vindicated prophet, your wonderful word. And Lord, help us, therefore, then turning as never before to the full truth and the context thereof until we are more, we are word. Word, word, and word piling until it is all word. And no part of the kingdom of Satan, no part of cosmos, no unadulterated pure spiritual worship in truth and in love, because that's got to be in us. We know it is, Lord, because the Holy Ghost is there in the word, and that word is coming up. And Lord, we know, we really believe, and maybe we're just going by feelings. We hope not. But we believe, Lord, and somehow feel within our depths of our soul that there is a greater love and a pervasive love one toward the other until there is a union and a bonding and a binding together we have not had previously and going on to higher heights and deeper depths in Christ. This is our desire, Lord, to look at each other and see the true transparency of life, to love each other and know that we are a part of each other and a part of Him, even God Himself and the Son, who have visited us so remarkably, especially in this last hour. So, Lord, as we further continue with foot washing and communion, may it be done according to truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we're going to just read a bit here, and I'm going to continue my thoughts in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. And you will notice something in here. Paul says in 23, I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. As oft ye drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth, show the Lord's death till he come. Now, I got out of that and spoke about a little bit, more or less just hinting, a couple of times that the communion table itself is where he says here, as oft as you eat and drink, you show forth the Lord's death. But he said, when you break the bread and when you drink the wine, You do it in remembrance of me. Now, the thing is this, if you are going to break the bread, and you are going to do it in remembrance of him, you got to remember who he is. And he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So we ought to take the sixth chapter of John and study it thoroughly, and perhaps we will just do so. Because as these things open up to me, I go into them. And I've never had any problem at this point because the Lord helps me. So we'll look at that. So remember that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And Brother Branham said, I don't know if I got it here or not. Is this the one? He said, he's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now, he was the Son of Man. So in other words, he was the great teacher. And he taught by precept and he taught by example. As the scripture distinctly says, Jesus began both to do and to teach. In other words, he thoroughly vindicated himself. And as the Son of Man, he's thoroughly vindicated himself again. So, we have a double charge from God in the sense we have the history, we have the Word, we have the perfection, and it's been given again. So we have Alpha and Omega at one particular time, so that we are not confused as those who think on him. We don't anymore have to think on him and puzzle. We know on him. That has been perfectly revealed. See what I'm trying to tell you? So therefore, when it says you break this bread, you pick up the bread to eat it, you must remember him. Now, remember he said, you show his death until he come. Now, you cannot put that in the context of the presence. You have to put it in the context of where he said, you and I will eat it together again as glorified human beings upon this earth, or at the wedding supper where it's going to be. We're going to have it. But when I look at this particular instance, where we ourselves have come together and to think upon him, we do not have the days of the Son of Man with us now. But we think back on the days of the Son of Man, and what am I telling you? What I've been preaching all these years, every time you hear me preach, vindication, 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 prophet, 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 God, 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 and us in one. Now you show me I'm preaching, and you and I are going to have faith. So I got 800 cases back there. I may hit you with every single one of them. Think on him, the Son of Man. Now let yourselves go. Let the real Spirit of Christ come into your thinking tonight. With my preaching, I know, brothers and sisters, it's terribly hard because I drive. When I get through banging your ears between two gongs, it's very hard to hear the sweet song of the thrush. But if you can do it, and if I can do it, let yourself go. Let your pulse begin to cease its racing. Your mind is speculation. And just think of those days when Brother Branham stood there with Thus Saith the Lord. The ministry, the days of the Son of Man. Just before Sodom and Gomorrah. Just before the coming of the Son in flesh, again. And remember, the church cannot produce it, only Christ can, only the bride can produce that coming back. Let ourselves go and begin to quieten our spirits and our souls until the beautiful holy hush, as we think about that Son of Man ministry, and God himself here with the prophet. And Brother Branham said, as you think those sweet thoughts of that person you loved, his spirit draws near. How much more than the Spirit of Christ? When you think of him who is here with us, who's given up those days now and is now leading us into the millennium. And then he said, when you drink that wine, do it and remember him. Now, this is scripture.
This is the same as saying when you gather the eggs, you will not put them in a bucket. You put them in a basket. You say, how can you possibly make that comparison? Because it's easy, and that's what it should be like. In other words, this is not difficult to do. And it's a commandment. I dare not do this other than to remember him. How do I remember? Listen, I don't remember the historical Jesus. I had nothing to do with him. But since he's risen from the dead, and now by the same source of authority and power, which is God, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, that same one is now doing here what he did in the flesh of that one who's now on his Father's throne waiting for us. Beautiful. Think of him. Think of him. Because you can't do otherwise. You can't think of the Father though thinking the Son are not the same person. You cannot think of the Son without thinking the Father, because there's no such thing. Because you cannot be a Father without a Son, you can't be a Son without a Father. And anybody that tries to make John say something different is a little bit, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he sure hasn't got the same idea I got. Spirit, I won't talk about spirit. But he says here, I want you to remember me. What is your remembrance tonight of vindication? What is your remembrance and my remembrance of the things that we saw and heard, of the things we assuredly know? In other words, brother, sister, let's understand this very, very conclusively. What we remember and continue to remember will fill our thoughts until other thoughts will not have any precedence or any place. And since he is the Word, as we view these things and keep our minds ever fresh with them, there will come a time, and this is a part of it, of the filling by the Word of the Holy Ghost until we come to complete headship. Do not be dismayed and do not worry because we strike plateaus. There are times when we strike plateaus which we do not like because we seem to be at a standstill. But remember this, there was a time when Jesus was very tired and he took time out to rest. He wasn't there telling anybody anything or doing anything. He's simply resting. And I believe we have these plateaus as Christian brothers and sisters in the church. And though it isn't perhaps to our liking, we're not excited and all. But remember, there's a maturation and a growth going on. Because as we keep thinking, we'll be piling those word upon word, sinking those beautiful thoughts of vindication. And I believe that my preaching of vindication is what has stabilized me, at least to the point I know it's vindicated. And I don't have to preach of conscience sake because I know something was there. Hey, I know something was there. And I make my testimony, I still make it. But how beautiful to know that he said, look here, this is one more opportunity that I can remind you. Remember me. Remember who I am, where I came from, what I did, what I'm doing now, how I'm going to meet you. Brother Branham said he's gone to prepare a place. And we'll talk about the bosom of the Father, all these things that go along. And all these things are ours tonight. So let us come together as one body in fellowship in the Lord to take communion. We have foot washing. There's room for about ten people back there in the office room. And they're back there for the men beyond the curtain. Ladies out there, there's all kinds of room. And you're entirely welcome. We are not close communicants in any way, shape, and form. Everybody here either drinks unto himself, condemnation or blessing. It's, you can't do one thing to me, I can't do one thing to you. No way, shape, and form. It's between you and me, and between you and the Lord, and me and the Lord. So, all right, let's rise at this time then. And the brethren come forward to serve. And we have two lines that, with the communion table, with the passing of the wine, we have one stand for the bread. And it makes it easier that way. We come around the side. You all know, just watch how the other people are doing it. Come around the side and around here and out. We don't get in each other's way that way. So, all right, are we ready? Let's bow our heads then in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commend the rest of this service to you. Thank you for the fine time you've given us looking in the Word, the joy and inspiration of being together. Knowing, Lord God, we may be a very nervous people in this hour. It seems everything is this way, that way. But we know, Lord, the Word of God is not nervous. No, 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 no. It keeps on calming us down, helping us, blessing us, life flowing out of it, love flowing out of it, truth flowing out of it, everything flowing out of it, or we don't want it. If everything doesn't come from that Word, Lord, we know that's the Word. We don't want it. We just want that Word, Lord. And even now as we partake tonight, we're remembering you, the Son of Man. How you came, and how we came just like you, except that we bypassed that spirit or word body. All of these things, Lord, meant to put us into fellowship through divine grace and unity as never before. And a little bride here, part of her, Lord, in complete solemn unity and oneness and love. Oh, great agape love of God, even a great human love toward each other, because we just simply enjoy each other and feel happy with each other. May your blessing continue, grace abound, and above all growth, full baptism with the Holy Ghost, full measure. In Jesus' name.